Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. By way of reminder, a few weeks ago we looked at the first parable in Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. This week we're going to be looking at the second parable in Luke 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke 18 is found on page 1042. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9, hear the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And as far as reading in Luke 18, I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we consider this parable together, and we pray for our Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. Prayer is where we tell God, we thank God for the great gifts that he has given. But what would cause a person to be ungrateful? Well, an ungrateful person is a person who makes assumptions, who assumes that they deserve that which they receive. In other words, presumption and pride are prayer killers. Presumption and pride kill prayer. A few weeks ago, many of our young people had graduation parties, and after the graduation party, these particular graduates had the opportunity, perhaps at their parents' encouragement, to write thank you letters. Now, why would those who graduate be writing thank you letters? Well, it's because they're thankful. They're grateful. They understand that what they have received, they do not deserve. It is a gift, a gracious, unmerited gift. In a similar way, prayer is our thank you note to God. We thank God. We acknowledge the gifts God has given to us. And we are saying, Lord, we don't deserve these gifts. You have so richly and graciously blessed me. Thank you for this gift. A few weeks ago, as we looked at the parable in the beginning of Luke 18, we saw that when it comes to prayer, we are to be persistent in our prayers. Jesus said, pray consistently. Do not give up. Do not lose heart. But then at the end of this particular parable, Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So faith, the necessity of faith, links the first parable and the second parable. In fact, without faith, you cannot pray. You will not pray. Faith, true faith, is a persistent faith. But true faith is also a humble faith. So our theme today teaches us to humble ourselves before God in prayer. This is seen in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And once again, we don't have to wait to the end of the parable to try to distill what the application is. Jesus front loads the application for us right at the beginning. Jesus in verse 9 says, this parable is told to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. This parable is striking at the heart of pride and presumption. And how you view your relationship to God trickles down in how you view and treat others. Indeed, what we could say is this parable is going to teach the summary of the law. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't love God, you won't love your neighbor. If you are proud and presumptuous, if you think you deserve something from God, you will be proud in God's presence and you will mistreat your neighbor. So our prayers are to be persistent. They're to be made with a heart of true faith, but they are also to come from a humble heart that is moved by gratitude. So in our sermon for this morning, we're going to look at the two particular individuals. In our first point, then, we see the Pharisee and his pride. So our parable begins with two men going up to the temple to pray. Now, as you know, the temple was a place of corporate worship. It's a place where the offerings rose to the Lord, that sweet smelling scent of incense, which signified the prayers of God's people. As the priest would offer this incense, it was an aroma that the Lord was pleased with, and it was an indication that God was accepting the prayers of his people. But the reasoning why this particular man, this Pharisee, comes is not a good one. Interestingly, we find both men present at the temple. From this, we can learn that the external church includes both wheat and tares, or wheat and weeds. Externally showing up for worship is not always an indication of what's going on in your heart. This Pharisee was in the right place at the right time. Putting it in today's context, he shows up on time to church. He's at public worship. Some people today, and it may be true even here, some people come to church with mixed intention or even with wicked desires. Coming because they think there is something good in themselves. They're motivated by pride, but they are also there to put on a show. I have a new dress that I want everyone to see. I want everyone to acknowledge me, that I am the first one to church. I want everyone to notice me. Worship for this particular individual is about me, and it is not about God. And it's not about others. It's selfish. So this Pharisee comes to the public place of prayer. And as you remember also, the Pharisee was the legalist of the day. The Pharisees did a really good job of putting fences around the commandments. If the commandment tells you that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, well, let's make specific laws so that you can only walk this far, or only have this kind of hat, or only do this particular activity in order to guard, to fence the law, to give me a specific list of everything I can and can't do so that I can boast in my works. So they added their own rules to the law of God, regulating every area of life. This particular man is focused, he's focused on the externals, while his heart remains unmoved. And as he comes to church, as he comes to the temple, he takes the place of prominence. He stands in the middle and he stands by himself. He's not going to associate with the lowly. Verse 11 says, he stands all by himself with chest boasted, puffed up, looking down his nose at others. He's at worship for public recognition. His prayer is not a spiritual exercise. It's a play. It's a performance. Do you think that happens in the church today? That people go to church and put on a performance? They're playing, they're acting. His life is all about religious devotion to elevate himself. So he comes to pray, but as he comes to pray, he thinks of himself. Interestingly, verse 11 could be translated, he prayed by himself, standing by himself, but he also prays about himself. What is his prayer? Verse 11, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. His prayer is twofold. First of all, God, I want to thank you that I am such a good, righteous, upright, holy person. In your presence, God, I thank you that I am not a sinner. You catch that? I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not guilty before you in any way. As the rich young ruler would say, all these I have kept from my youth. I am a law keeper. I've kept the first table of the law. Second part of the prayer, and I thank you that I am so much better than everybody else. I'm not like other men, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I've kept the second table of the law. If you were to compare me to others, God, I am a cut above. Thank you, God, for making me so pious. Thank you, God, that I am such a good person. I'm worthy of everything you give me, and I'm better than everyone else. I'm arrogant and I'm puffed up. This particular prayer is made in comparing himself to others. He's self-righteous. Children, can you tell what's missing from this prayer? Why is this a problematic prayer? Where is the confession? Where is the acknowledgement of need? Where is the humility? He reads God's law, he knows the commandments, and he says, yep, done that, check that off the list. All right, I'm doing good. Thank you, God, that I'm such a good person. That's not prayer. Any prayer that starts with, thank you, God, for how good I am, misses what prayer is supposed to be. He compares himself to others. I'm a cut above. I'm totally unnecessary of needing grace and forgiveness. This can happen today. Although I dare say we would never verbally say this, it happens in the church today. When we look at our lives and we see how we have not done all of the things that we find in the world today, I'm not broken the laws about worship. I've never worshipped a golden calf or image. I'm not in false religion. In relationship to fellow man, never committed adultery. I've never stolen anything of significant worth anyways. I'm doing pretty good. God, I thank you for making me, making me such a good guy. I thank you that I'm so much better than everyone else. We start to think we deserve the riches, the grace that God has given to us. But as we saw last week, the humble servant, that was the parable of the servant who said, I've just been doing what you've asked me to do. I'm an unprofitable servant, as that parable said last time. That's how God's people must view themselves, with humility. And even our work, with humility. We don't deserve, we can't earn, we can't merit any grace from our God. So when we compare ourselves to God's law, and when we compare ourselves to other people, there should never be boasting. Because if you rely on yourself, you remain in your sins. Look at what happened, the application found in verse 14. This particular Pharisee did not go to his house justified. He returned home the same way he came, proud and still in his sin. The prayer of the Pharisee is basically praying about himself, but it's praying to himself. For it is not true prayer. True prayer is a heart of humility, a heart of faith. And that fatal failure is identified in verse 9. He trusted in himself. He goes through the motion of prayer, but he trusts in himself. He may be able to repeat the Lord's Prayer, but he trusts in himself. Therefore, he stayed in his sins. A sinner who refuses to see his own need. Pride before God and self-righteousness. And pride before others, thinking he's better than fellow man. When you trust in yourself, your prayer is not prayer. It's not true prayer. Pride and presumption are prayer killers. So verse 13, Jesus changes focus. Now bringing to our sight the tax collector, sometimes called the publican or the sinner. Now the tax collector, unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector is not a... He was kind of the lowest of low in society. The Pharisee is seen as someone who is set apart, someone who is righteous, someone who you would want to emulate, a really pious, good kind of person. But the tax collector was seen as a traitor, collecting taxes for the Roman government. He was hated and despised by his fellow men. He was kind of the villain or the bad guy. As this particular man approaches the temple, this man does not boast in himself and puff out his chest and lift up his nose and look down on others. This particular man is so humble that he can't even raise his eyes to the heavens. Rather, this particular one, verse 13 says, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to the heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector prayer is one of humility, humbleness, seen in both his words and in his actions. He knows his need. He echoes Psalm 57, God, be merciful to me. In his prayer, he does not list all the good things that he has done, but rather he acknowledges his need. He needs mercy. Why does he need mercy? Because he's a sinner. In this particular prayer, we see the heart of a believer. One who knows he doesn't deserve to stand in God's presence on his own merit. And the basis of his prayer is not on what he has done. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. When we think about the good we have done, we overestimate our ability and underestimate God's holiness. To illustrate this today, in a couple weeks from now, I'll be leading a new members course, pre-profession of faith class, and I ask the same question for everyone who comes to that class, is if you were to die today, the question is this, if you were to die today and appear before the judgment seat of God, and Jesus would ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? What is the basis, the grounds that you should be granted entrance into the kingdom of heaven? And without fail, almost every year, I hear this answer. Well, I tried to do the best that I could. I tried to be a good person. I tried to go to church, and I tried to do this. Does that strike you as problematic? If someone asks you, why should you be allowed into heaven, and your answer begins with, I tried, you've missed the mark. You got wrong the most pressing question that we all need to answer. Why should you be led into heaven? If your answer is, I did this or I tried that, you won't be granted access. The only way you can get into heaven is if your answer is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's why I should be granted access into heaven, is because Jesus Christ fulfilled righteousness for me, on my behalf. He did what I could not do and paid for me what I could not pay. He suffered hellish agony, which liberated me from hell, and he fulfilled all righteousness, perfectly keeping all of the commandments, which secured my eternal salvation. That's the basis. And don't we find that in our particular parable? The end result is in verse 14. The sinner who prays, have mercy on me, O God. The sinner who clings to Jesus Christ. The sinner who believes in the promises of the gospel. If you repent and believe, you will be saved. That person is justified. That person is saved. The tax collector left the temple and was declared righteous in the presence of a holy God on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. It is God's pleasure. He delights to hear this kind of prayer. For he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I want to read one passage from James chapter 4. If you'd like to follow along, from James chapter 4. James 4 at verse 5. James 4 verse 5. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And then continuing, verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Here in James, we find the very twofold application that Jesus Christ gives us in this parable. How do we view our relationship to God, and how do we view our relationship to others? If you are proud in your prayer, you will also boast. And if you view yourself as better than others, you will mistreat those whom God has placed in your life. So this particular parable is designed to pop the balloon of man's pride, those who trust in themselves. So let's summarize it this way. The first application is that all men must humble themselves before God in prayer. There is no basis to come to God boasting in yourselves. Like the sinner here, you must cry out for mercy and grace because there's nothing you can do, no merit, no worth, no righteousness that you can provide that would give you standing in God's presence. No one can say on the day of judgment, I have done or I have tried. It's only the works of Christ alone. That's why you have to have humility. So the first application is you need to humble yourself before the Lord. We all have this shared need. The second application flows from this. If you are humble, if you humble yourself in God's presence, you will also view your fellow man with charity. This parable, second application, is to rebuke those who treat others with contempt. Do not think that you are better than others because you have the shared need that they have. I'm sure you know someone who is always criticizing others, always boasting in their own works. But Jesus says, those who look on disdain or look down on others will be brought low. We all have to humble ourselves in God's presence. We need him to justify us. There is no one righteous, and there is no one who is more deserving of his grace than others. So as we close, this particular parable shows us that presumption and pride kill prayer. How we view ourselves has a direct correlation to how we pray and how we treat others. If we see ourselves as deserving of God's grace, then our prayer is praying about ourselves, praying to ourselves. It's not true prayer. But if you have a heart of faith and humility and you cry out to the Lord, if you confess your sins and cling to Christ, you will be justified. And you will be kind to your neighbor who is a fellow sinner who needs the same grace that you do. True prayer is when we ask God for what we need and we thank God when that need is met. We need forgiveness and grace. And Jesus Christ came to meet that need. So in this parable, Jesus teaches us to humble ourselves before the Lord in our prayers. For whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this humbling parable, reminding us of our need, reminding us of our sin, and exposing the pride that lies hidden in all of our hearts. May we never, O Lord, presume, or may we never have pride in ourselves. May we never boast in ourselves. May our prayers never be rooted in what we think we have done or what we have tried to do, but rather may we come to you in humility, asking, crying out for your grace. May this also manifest itself in how we treat others, that we would acknowledge that all men, we all need your grace, and only by grace can we be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.